The Falcons looking to go 4-0 in division, 2-0 this season against Tampa coming up on Sunday. Special teams coordinator Marquise Williams joins the show right now. Coach, how are you? Thanks for the time.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Doing awesome. Obviously, looking ahead to the game on Sunday and looking forward to it for sure. I wonder, obviously someone who's there every single day and is around these guys, what's the energy like this week, maybe coming off of the performance on Sunday versus what the energy may have been like the last couple of weeks with some of those performances?
Well, you know, the energy is great around the building because we understand that everything's still right in front of us. You know, unfortunately, we had a tough loss this past weekend, but those are opportunities for us to grow and to get better. And how we look at it is like we have opportunities in front of us. Win, lose, or draw, we have opportunities to get better as a team, as an organization, and as individuals. So we're excited about this week going down to Tampa and, you know, getting another game under our belt to go 1-0.
Coach Williams, I am a special teams nerd for whatever reason, and I was watching various football games this weekend. We had what I would consider maybe the best onside kick I've seen all year, a recovery, and then probably the worst one, a ball that spiraled 4 yards away from where the kicker towed it. How much onside kick preparation and practice are you guys doing? I mean, this is a team that has played in a bunch of one-possession close games, and certainly you could imagine there may be an opportunity where you either have to defend or recover an onside kick. But how much are you guys working on that actively week in, week out?
Oh, we work it every week. We work our hands team, which is the team trying to receive the onside kick, and on our must onside kick team. We work that every week, and our goal and our mindset is we'd rather be prepared without the opportunity than unprepared with the opportunity. So those are critical plays to either seal the game with us recovering the kick or to give our offense another opportunity to put points on the board when you're coming back from a game. But those plays are game-changing plays, and those are things we work on because the rules are way different now because of the onside kick play compared to the new kickoff. So our guys understanding their alignment, their assignment, who plays the ball, who blocks, who goes and gets the ball on the kickoff team. All those little details add to big results, and you can see it came up in the Baltimore-Tampa Bay game where Tampa Bay was able to get an extra possession. And then you talk about the San Fran game where you put yourself an opportunity to try to come back versus Kansas City, and then the kick doesn't go 5 yards, and it's like a huge buzzkill. So those are opportunities that we work all the time. And then, you know, it's unfortunate you try not to be in those situations as an onside kick team, but you got to go win those downs. And then as a hands team, we got to go with a one-play mentality so we can end the game and get, you know, go in the locker room with a victory.
How does a kicker decide what type of onside kick he likes? Like, you guys try a bunch of them out in the summer and whichever one works best? Because there's the one that, like, kind of starts low, it takes the high hop. There's the sidewinder. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all kinds of different styles of that kick. How does a kicker decide on the one that he likes and goes with in-game?
Oh, well, let's say we got an hour right now to talk about this. I'm joking. We don't have an hour.
No, we can go as long as you want.
Yeah, I'll just miss practice. It's all good. But you, when it comes to this kick, it's a big correlation to, like, what can your kicker do? What kind of kicks can they execute? And then within those kicks, you want to look at how they protect, how they block up certain coverages, certain alignments, and you want to see how the hands team, the opponent, the return team, how they align and where are the weaknesses and where's the gaps where you can try to create chaos and try to get the ball back. Because with the new play, it's kind of hard to recover a kick.
Right.
So any opportunity you could create any type of confusion or chaos or uncertainty to the opponent and it matches well with the kick, those are the type of kicks that we use. So week in and week out, we have a couple of different kicks that we carry with us, a couple of different formations, and it all matches up to what they do, and we try to put our players in the best position to go make those plays. So it's really player-driven and opponent-driven.
Atlanta Falcons special teams coordinator Marquise Williams joining us here on the Midday Show on the WaitFor.com hotline. I have one more onside kick question. I'm sorry. I told you I was a special teams nerd. So, like, just over the last, let's say, 10 years – and look, I watch, like, streamers to try and keep myself young, and there's a term called, like, the new meta, right? Like, there's a new meta. Like, it's the new trendy thing that maybe game developers haven't, responded to. Is there a new meta over the last 10 years of onside kick, a trend that you see maybe working either to help recover more often or to prevent more often, anything like that?
Well, I think there's always fads and there's always different things that you see throughout the NFL. Within the last, I've been in the NFL, this is year 9, and the kickoff rules change probably 6 or 7 times since I've been in the NFL. Whether you talk about the regular kickoff or onside kick, you used to have a running head start to go recover the kick. You could line up in an overload front, like 6x4 or 4x6. You could motion. Now it's just 5x5. Nobody can move. Ball's kicked. And there's more offside penalties than there are recoveries. But I think one of the biggest trends that you've seen in the last couple of years is teams used to see like the little high hop, the spike, where they hit the ball high and then the guy has to go catch it and he gets flipped and it's just chaos. Now you're seeing a lot more of the ball being on the ground. So you see the kickers take the ball, don't use the tee, put the ball flat on the ground, kind of like what San Fran's trying to do, and they spin the ball. Mm-hmm. And it's like a slow play where everybody's waiting around trying to see if the ball goes 10 yards, and right when it goes 10 yards or if it's close to the sideline, they're getting on it. So they're just – teams are trying to find different ways to put stress on the hands team on how to recover it. But putting the ball, not using the tee, has been the biggest trend I've seen.
Yeah, in your tenure, the kickoff rule has probably changed more than it has in 70 years in the NFL.
Correct.
Because when this rule changed in the summer and we heard about it and talked about it, there was a lot of hype about how much excitement it could bring and how different it was going to be. Have you been surprised at sort of how little it's really impacted? I know it's different, but I don't know how many more return opportunities we're really seeing. Have you been surprised at how little it's really changed that?
I wouldn't say I'm not surprised. I mean, it's something new. So like starting off, we're just in the second quarter of the season. Mm-hmm. Everybody's expecting all these big returns and touchdowns, but it's new to the players. It's new to the coaches. It's new to the kickers. It's new to the returners. So anytime you try something new, you're not going to have the immediate response or the results that you desire and want. But I do say this, our team and teams throughout the NFL are getting more adaptable and adjusting to different things and trying different modalities and different teachings, different techniques. And I think the play is going to help us. Use the word impact. I think this play is impacting the game because of the field position. Mm-hmm. You know, teams are, before touchbacks are at the 25, and you use the term, it's cliche, it's a game of inches. Now the touchback's at the 30. And now with teams getting the ball at the 30-yard line on the touchback, you gain one first down, you're already at midfield. Mm-hmm. And now with analytics, teams are going for it more. Teams have stronger field goal kickers. They're kicking more 50-yard field goals. So it's a direct correlation to offenses, what they're doing with field position. And then you're starting to see a less amount of number of punts because of that. So it has impacted the game. It just hasn't impacted the game in the way fans think of it as touchdowns and, you know, big returns. It's still correlated to, like, how many times teams are punting. Are they going for it? Are they kicking field goals? So it's been impactful, and it's changing the game. It's just not in the way that fans are seeing it kind of right now.
Do you feel like analytics have kind of been unfair to the special teams coordinator? Because it feels like it's more go for it, less kick. It's more go for two, less extra point. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times where your unit would be out there doing something, now it's like, we're going to keep you guys over here. We're going to go for it. Feels like the analytics are a little bit unfair to the special teams guys.
I wouldn't say it's unfair. I just say it just changes the game. Yeah. You have analytics, but at the end of the day, as a team, you still have to make that decision.
Right.
Sometimes you go with analytics, sometimes you go against it. Let's say you go for two. Let's say it's a 1-point game, and you go for two to try to have the lead rather than kick the PAT. Well, you don't know what's going to happen on the next defensive possession. We get a stop. Now we kick a field goal, win the game. Special teams wins the game. So there's always different situations you can take certain chances on or make certain decisions, but when you make those decisions, understand how the domino effect can affect the game later on. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you still have opportunities to win games on special teams, whether it's a punt, whether it's going for it, and then now you go for it, now you have short field, now your punting team has to go out there. What's the decision you got to make? Do we have to rush? Do we rush? Oh, we go and block the punt because we went for it earlier on in the game. Or we went for two, and now we got to go win this game with a game-winning field goal.
Right.
So I always look at the positive aspect and how on special teams can we win those plays. We're not counting the plays. We want to make those plays count.
Mm-hmm. Coach, I got to ask you a final question for me. We saw it take place overseas. Cole Kmet win special teams player of the week as an emergency long snapper. You never want any injuries. But if we had one, who was the Falcons' emergency long snapper?
We actually have a couple. I don't want to put the names out there right now, but we work that each and every week. We have a couple of long snappers. We have guys that could kick off. Oh. We have a bunch of backup returners. We have guys that could punt. So those are those crisis management plans. We work those each and every week. And it goes back to when those guys go out there in those situations, which you don't want to happen, those guys are prepared because they have reps that they put in the bank. They had those weekly deposits. And now when they go out there, everybody, all 11 men on the field, everybody on the sideline are super confident because they've worked at it and then they're going to go out there and execute at the highest level possible. But big credit to Cole Kmet. No doubt. He scores a touchdown and Rafferty scores a touchdown. You can see Mercedes Lewis run up to him, tell him that he has to snap. And he had five successful snaps.
Right.
So that's awesome to see. And those are great examples to use for our team when we talk about our readiness and how we prepare each and every week to go win games.
Like, obviously you're not going to tell us who the backup kicker would be, but can you tell us somebody who people would be surprised to know can kick? Like, is a better kicker than people would think that he would be?
Ooh. I would say Tyler Allgeier. He could kick.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Now, is he consistent? That's for you guys to decide, but he can't kick.
All right. I like it. Hey, we appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
All right, you guys take care. Have a great day.
Marquise Williams there, Atlanta Falcons special teams coordinator.